The Disney Brit Podcast is sponsored by Attraction Tickets Direct and Complete Orlando. At Attraction Tickets Direct, they recognise that people nowadays want to be free from package holiday restrictions and to avoid paying prices inflated by travel agent commission. Because they don't sell through travel agents, they are able to offer attraction tickets at unbeatable prices and offer expert advice. Furthermore, the service they provide is second to none since their lines are open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week. Customers receive their tickets within 7 days and there are no hidden extras such as credit card fees or postage surcharges. You can call them on 0800 975 0002 or visit www.attraction-tickets-direct.co.uk. Complete Orlando are here to help simplify your Orlando holiday. They specialise solely in arranging holidays to Orlando and can therefore provide you with an expert advice and knowledge on this magical destination. They have expert staff available 7 days a week and can personalise your whole itinerary using their range of hotels, private villas and apartments to suit all budgets, as well as car rental, scheduled flights, theme park tickets and travel insurance. Their whole range can be totally tailor-made to offer complete flexibility and fit your individual requirements. Call them on 0800 294 8844 or visit www.completeorlando.co.uk.
Ah, salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Welcome and thank you for joining me on episode 31 of the Disney Brit Podcast, a very Christmassy episode, and there you have already the candlelight overture from Epcot's Candlelight Processional. Well, you join me here for, as I say, the last edition before Christmas and New Year. We're going to bring you the usual news and rumours, just Craig and myself this time. Just unfortunately is poorly and will not be joining us. Then we're going to bring you the answers to the trivia quiz, the special Mouse Meets edition. There's the answers there. And then we're going to bring you a little more audio that we brought while we're over at Mouse Meets. Firstly, we're going to bring you the music to the abbreviated version of the tree lighting ceremony that happens at the end of Main Street in Town Hall Square. Then going to bring you another day on my audio diary as I tell you a little more about the Disney Cruise Line. And then we're going to bring you a bit of a Mouse Meets update ready for 2010. Some ticket information, some bits and pieces there with regards to that event. And finally, our last bit of Christmas style stuff, which is going to be the audio from It's a Small World celebration over in Disneyland Park in Disneyland Paris. So that's the show. I hope you enjoy it as always. So without any further ado, let's get on with this edition of the Disney Brit Podcast.
Good morning, sire.
Good morning, Zazu.
Checking in with the morning report.
Fire away.
Welcome to the news and rumours section of this edition of the show, where we're a little bit depleted on numbers this time because poor Juz has some sort of man flu and is in the process of dying, so he's not going to be with us. But of course, as always, Craig's here. Hi, Craig.
Hello, these odd people. I am human.
Okay.
I was born in January 1930. And right. married Leslie in 2008. I held 16 million share operations.
Roy E. Disney.
Exactly. Well done, Adam. R.I.P.
That's 3-2 to me then. Game still applies, even though Jez is here, not here.
Exactly
it's his
right.
own fault, so it's tough. yeah, come on, one more to go, and I'm back up to 3-3.
Right. You won't make it, you've got Matt Flew, he'll be out for months.
Yeah, that's true, we'll be out in for months. We're a bit depleted, as we say. Jez isn't here, he's dying, apparently, he's not very well at all. I've got a cold, which is not nice at all. Craig is on his 3G connection due to the fact that he's currently moving house, he's at home with his parents.
But I do have a bowling nut.
So, you know, he's got a bowl of nuts and he's happy and it's all fine. But yes, we're a little bit depleted. The news, there's not a huge amount of news, to be honest, that we're going to go through. And that's really about it. So, we haven't got a pod person either because it's Christmas. Last show before Christmas Day and New Year's Eve. So, let's start off with the news then. And your famous person, I think, fits in nicely with the first piece of news that we're talking about. And you may or may not know, we did mention it on the last Iron Orlando podcast about the death of Roy E. Disney. He did die on the 16th of December, age 79. He'd been battling stomach cancer for the past year. Now, he was associated with the Disney Company from 1984 all the way to 2003. And in 2003, that's when he famously resigned from his post over a disagreement with Eisner and the way the company was run. Our thoughts do go out to the Disney family. He was sort of really the only Disney member who was really integral within the Disney Company up until 2003. So our thoughts are certainly with them, especially at this Christmas time.
It's horrible time to lose anyone, but especially now. And seeing these kind of this guy going, the last of the Disney family to leave, yeah. It's really sad, actually. I mean, and you look at pictures of him, and he's got such similarity to us as well. It's just a sad day, I think.
It really is, yeah, and it is sad to hear that, you know, this has happened. You can find out more stuff, though, over on the D23 website. Disney have put some stuff up. They have sort of said the support from the family, that if you want to send any donations, to send it to the, I think it's the California Sailing Association, CISA, I think it is. Can't remember off the top of my head. But there we go. So we've gone from that piece of news to the ridiculous piece of news, which is to do with the recent I suppose competition that they had over in the UK with twinning Walt Disney World with another city or another town. They opened this competition to everybody in the UK, and you could enter a poem, a photo, a video clip to explain exactly why you think your town is a perfect match with Walt Disney World. I certainly considered entering Leicester. I just got to the point where I just didn't have the time to do it in the end, unfortunately. But Rebecca Warren, who's 20, she sent in a video showing off the town that she lives in and will be flown over to Walt Disney World in February to take part in a special twinning ceremony. A plaque is going to be placed in the United Kingdom Pavilion, and also her hometown is going to receive a twinning ceremony in January along with a huge lavish party. The question is, what is the name of the town? Now, you think of these magical places that you could possibly choose to be twinned with Walt Disney World. Maybe somebody picturesque like the lakes of the Lake District, or maybe somewhere remote in Scotland or the centre of London and somewhere like that. But no, it is indeed Swindon. Swindon. People who live in Swindon, sending emails now. Here we go.
The phone's starting right now. Congratulations, first of all, to Rebecca. But hopefully now, if you might move about Swindon and do it to serve something a little bit more memorable. It just signed up for us UK Britain, Swindon. Unfortunately, got to take us the boring town like Slough or some place. It isn't Constable country or anywhere that you'd imagine that you'd want AFT people to see. But you know, she won the competition fair as well.
She did, yes.
Great time over there. You never know, we might get back in Swindon.
Who knows? I doubt that's going to happen, but who knows? But yeah, I know there's been a lot of taking the mickey by a lot of the national newspapers here with regards to how Swindon and Walt Disney World compare. I think it was the Telegraph put a fantastic sort of comparison between Swindon and Walt Disney World, and one of them was Walt Disney World has 17 million tourists visit its four theme parks. Swindon has 10,000 people visit its railway every year, or something along those lines. And it was quite an entertaining look. But, you know, well done, Swindon. You are indeed going to be twinned with Walt Disney World. it's an interesting twin, but it certainly happened. But I wonder whether this is going to be a yearly thing, whether this is going to happen again next year.
It'd be good
to see if it's a yearly thing, which would be great.
Yeah, no, I called it Disney World or something, one of the papers. That was quite funny.
Yeah, well, yes, it did. Yeah, I think it was something along those lines. Okay, let's head over to Walt Disney World then. To be honest, very, very little news. Only one piece of news that's sort of park related, but two things to let you know about. Firstly, in a recent interview, Bob Iger, who is currently the big chief at Walt Disney, as expecting Disney parks to scale back all of their discounts in the second half of 2010 as the economy begins to strengthen. So if you are considering a trip and are unsure whether discounts will be coming later in the year, I suggest you think about booking now if those discounts are there, or go earlier in the year while the discounts are happening, because according to Iger, later in 2010 these discounts are not going to exist. So the buy four get three free, the free dining, if it's, I think it's now finished for this year, but all those different bits and pieces, you know, take advantage of them. There looks like they're going to be scaling back towards the end of 2010.
You know what? That could be just a very clever marketing ploy on his part, isn't it?
Yeah, it could be.
Selling. And funny though, I did see on Becky Makin from Mouse Fan Traveller put something out about a new. You know, in the UK we get money if we book with.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's now happening in the US. You know, book us home, say with Disney, and you get a $350 gift card. So,
oh, well, okay.
They're going down that route now.
But, yeah, so they're going to go for giving you something for being there rather than taking money off to get you there. So it's a slightly different tack.
Yeah.
Jim McPhee, who some of you may know, was the vice president of Epcot, has been given a new job title, and it's a really interesting job title as well. He is now the vice president of Next Generation Experiences and Disney Parks. Now, I heard this and went, I have no idea what that means. No idea whatsoever. They've just made up a job title. But this Next Generation Experiences thing sounds interesting. What do you make of it?
I reckon that could be things like Star Wars 2.0, maybe. Looking at the stuff they're doing in Disneyland.
Yeah.
Maybe just, you know, progressing it, taking it to, you know, I don't like to say the next level, because they're a pretty high level anyway, but, you know, maybe just seeing what they can do to try and, you know, update and improve. So I reckon Star Wars 2.0, that sort of thing. And Fancy Land, maybe some stuff they're going to do to sort and update that. Overseeing all that.
When they talk about Next Generation, I wonder if that also brings into the ideas of bringing back older attractions. So this week, Disneyland in California have announced that they are bringing back Captain EO in February for a limited time. So I wonder whether it involves that sort of stuff as well. When it also Next Generation, I also wonder whether it's to do with sort of the next generation of Disney movies. So things like Princess and the Frog, all of the other films that are going to be coming out. We know that we've got the Generation Festival coming to Disneyland Paris next year. I wonder whether his involvement in that is part of that as well. So it'd be interesting to see what this Next Generation Experiences in Disney Parks vice president position is all about.
And actually, big thank you goes to you, Adam, on the Princess. I've got my four free tickets thanks to you.
I'll talk about that in a bit, actually, yeah. Well, those of you who don't know what we're talking about, I'll come to that in a little while. Let's head into Magic Kingdom for one bit of news, and this is something that happened a little while ago, probably over a week ago, but I put it in the news. Although it's, I suppose, old news if you heard about it, I still think it's actually quite significant, and that is that there's a new meet-and-greet test going on at Pooh's Playful Spot. Now, this is the way it works. They have still got the queuing system, as it has always been, but now it is only the parents that wait in line. Because what they're doing is they're sending the kids off into Pooh's Playful Spot to play. The parents queue and can keep an eye on them because the queue's in a position so you can supervise your kids while they're playing. And then when the parents reach a certain point in the queue, they then call their kids over, who come and join them in the queue, then go and meet the characters, and everybody's happy. Now, people are like, okay, they've changed the queuing system. But I wonder whether this is a test to do with maybe the way they're going to do meet and greets from now on. Maybe it's even a test to do with the way they're going to do Dumbo in the future. Because I know we talked about that being a queueless system. Whether this is just a way of testing those ideas out.
I think it's a brilliant idea. I know what it's like when you're sitting there and the kids are having fun. You say, come on, your turn. Come now. And they won't be coming. So they need to give out hooks and sues, so you can grab hold of them and bring them over.
And the
you're going to have all our great parents go, where's your kid? He's coming. I just finished his game, he's coming.
And the other interesting thing with this is, you've got this idea of, and I know we experienced it when we were last over at Animal Kingdom, we queued for Goofy. It was Goofy and Pluto in their sort of safari gear, and we were getting closer and closer to the line, and Harry wasn't too bad standing in the line because he could see the characters, but then suddenly they had that 5-minute break where they disappeared off, and right, everyone was queuing for absolutely nothing, and it was that point the kids began to get a little irritated that they're queuing for nothing that's there. And I suppose if you've not got the kids in the queue, then that's not going to be an issue. They can have that 5-10 minute break. And also, I suppose, if it's just parents that are queuing, they can then think about maybe scaling back the number of people that are, or the number of characters there are at the time, and the fact that they don't have to worry about having just 5 minutes wait before the next character. They could have a 10-minute break and then have less characters or the friends of characters being with them in the park. So it could also cut down on operational costs in a way, I suppose.
Yeah, true.
Okay, that's really all the Walt Disney World news we've got. Nothing really for Epcot, Hollywood Studios or Animal Kingdom. So we're going to head over to Disneyland Resort Paris, where we have a few pieces of news, none of which really enter the parks. But actually, we'll just give you some cruise line news just very quickly as we're in sort of the US area. And that is that they've announced a new stage show coming to the ships. Toy Story, the musical, is heading over to California Adventure. And Disney are bringing a new musical to the ships entitled Villains Tonight. Now, it's the first time that a full-scale show has been dedicated purely to villains. And it's due to premiere in spring 2010. Toy Story, the musical's moving into the theatre where Aladdin the Musical Spectacular is and California Adventures. So a brand new musical coming to the cruise ships. I think it's coming to the Magic first, then coming to the Wonder. It'll be interesting to see whether it's going to be on the Dream as well. So there we go. New show coming. So you never know, Craig, when you get on a ship.
You never know. What if it's a different of the old Mix and Mingle?
Could be, maybe, or whether they've adapted that or changed that slightly. From what I understand, it's something to do with Hades and the underworld and somebody wanting to take over the underworld, and he has to bring all the evil back, so they all come. I don't quite understand 100% what it's about, but I know it's certainly going to be a full-scale musical, so it should be interesting to see.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Disneyland Paris, then. Let's head over to what is a unbelievably snowy Disneyland Paris at the moment. For those of you in the US, we are experiencing some really bizarre, quite extreme weather conditions in the UK at the moment, in the fact that we're having a huge amount of snow. Now, compared to what you guys have in the US, and looking at some of the photos some of you have put on Facebook this week, the snow we have here is absolutely nothing compared to what you get. All it takes is a couple of flakes and the whole country goes into absolute chaos. I think you would just laugh at us. But Disneyland Paris is covered in blanket of snow at the minute. It looks absolutely amazing. I suppose, really, am I right in thinking it's probably one of the only parks, Disney parks, in the world which could be covered in snow? The only one that has the right climate?
Probably right, yeah.
I think probably are. It does look amazing. So we have fake snow and real snow at Disneyland Paris at the moment. Those of you who have been caught up with the old Eurostar fiasco as well, be pleased to know that it sounds like Eurostar have got themselves sorted. From what we understand is because of the amount of snow there's been in northern France, the snow buffers that have been on the front of the Eurostar trains have not been sufficient enough for the heavy snowfall that there's been, and the snow's been getting into the electrics, but it sounds like they've now put these new snow buffers on the front and everything's much, much better. So fingers crossed for that, especially as I go off on the 30th of December. on Eurostar. I'd quite like to get there without stopping in a tunnel. That'd be lovely. Okay. Right, let's do some news then. Firstly, annual pass holders and shareholders have an advanced screening of The Princess and the Frog. Now, it's been a long, long time since we've been able to say that Disneyland Paris have invited these pass holders and the shareholders to a movie preview that is a brand new hand-drawn animated film. You know, I honestly thought these days were over and they're not, which is fantastic. Registration pages for both programs are now open, for with the annual pass holders able to enjoy the film on the 9th and the 16th of January. Shareholders have been invited to a screening on the 23rd of January. It's going to be screened inside Cinemagique, which is within the Walt Disney Studios park, presumably going to use their digital projection technology, so it should be a clear image. Shareholders, the film begins at 8:45, while pass holders, it starts at 8:30. All screenings are in French only, unfortunately. They used to do it in English. I don't think there was enough of an uptake, so it's now in French only. Now, those of you in the US, obviously, have already seen the film. So this isn't really any big news to you. For those of us in the UK, the film doesn't actually come out until February, and most people won't see it until February, unless you are a friend of mine on Facebook, you're on our UK Disney fans group, or you're on the Disney Brit group, or something like that. On Sunday, I updated my status, and I sent out emails galore to as many people as I could to let you know about the Mail on Sunday offer that was going on, of which they were offering advanced free... This is free tickets, advanced tickets for Princess and the Frog on the 3rd of January at many cinemas across the UK, all of them Odeon. All you had to do was go onto a website, order your tickets, pick the coupon up from your newspaper, and Bob's your uncle, 3rd of January, in you go. I know a lot of people who I'd sent it out to did manage to get tickets. Did you get some, Craig?
TJ, I got four. I was quite impressed, actually. So we're going to Twitch Wells Odeon. If any listeners are there, can say hi. I mean, it's a month.
It is, you know, it's free, and it's well over a month before it comes out in the UK. I've got four for Leicester, so I'm going to go and see it in Leicester. So if anybody's going to be seeing it in Leicester, do let me know. We'll come and say hi when we're there. That's over at the Odeon there on the 3rd of January. So 10:30 showing. Very excited, so it should be good.
Yes.
Right, Christmas Market, which has now hit Disney Village. There's always been the Bell's Christmas Village in Disneyland Park. The Disneyland Park. There's been what I think they've called Christmas Avenue this year over in Walt Disney Studios Park. And now Christmas Market has hit Disney Village. You head over there until the 3rd of January. You can experience this Christmas Market that's open daily from noon till 11 p.m. Enjoy festive drinks, food, buy, you know, some last-minute presents if you're there just before Christmas. There's also the chance to meet Santa, hear carol singers, and meet the crazy reindeer and snowmen, is how it's described. I have no idea what that is. There's also going to be these carol singers going around on stilts as well, apparently. So it's a bit of a sort of a festival atmosphere, I suppose. But staying in Disney Village, there's also some interesting stuff that's coming for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Believe it or not, Christmas Day is usually pretty quiet, and Christmas Eve is usually pretty quiet in the parks as well. You'd think it'd be manic, but actually they're a lot quieter than you first expect. But as of 7 p.m, there's going to be three musicians known as Le Tout Debout. No idea who they are. They're going to stroll around on stilts of the streets of Disney Village. They're going to be entertaining guests with all sorts of traditional songs. You can also look at Christmas dinner. You can opt for La Grange, which is the restaurant near Billy Bob's. They're offering a special Christmas buffet on December the 24th as of 6 p.m. It's going to be €33.30 for adults and €14.20 for children. Priority reservation is highly recommended. You can ring 01603040 50. On the 25th, the restaurant's going to offer its usual regular buffet, but the Billy Bob Saloon on ground level is going to host a unique Christmas concert as of 9:30 p.m. with the Christmases of Rock and Roll. They're going to be performing rock and roll covers of Christmas classics. That is completely free to go into, so that's really good to know. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day evening, you're going to have something there. Another interesting offering is that Hurricanes Nightclub is going to be offering a Christmas DJ kids party. This is going to be on both the 24th and 25th of December. Party is actually more than just a dance party. There's going to be a DJ who has special support from a funny snowman. I don't understand. Santa's going to be coming. There's going to be face painting. There's going to be a magic show, plus a Christmas buffet for the kids and also parents. And they're going to be going on twice a day. There's going to be 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. Now, the entrance fee for this, including all entertainments and buffet, range from, and this is a huge difference, $46.60 to $84.80 for adults, and $19 to $46.60 for children. Now, the first seating are cheaper than the second seating, and the 25th, believe it or not, is cheaper than the 24th.
Oh, my.
So it's actually cheaper to go on Christmas Day than it is Christmas Eve. Buffalo Bill will continue as always, and there's going to be a slight change to the menu on the 24th, and all restaurants in Disney Village are offering dinner on Christmas Day. So it sounds like a really nice offering for Christmas Day and Christmas Eve, something a bit different in the parks.
Yeah, they've really thought about it. But the show, I'm at those prices, €84.
Yeah, €84 is a lot, isn't it?
So that'd be the 9 o'clock on Christmas Eve one.
So the £84.80, that's what? About £80 each?
Yeah.
It's a lot of money, especially with the way the climate is at the moment. A huge, huge amount. But, you know, it's nice to see that they are still offering something different.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, I don't know how many people are going.
No, I've no idea. but I would
it's
say...
It's odd what you were saying, though, wasn't it, about it not being busy, because, you know, Florida actually is probably the only day the park actually gets closed being full up.
Yeah, definitely. But, of course, New Year is very, very different. New Year is rammed. Actually, I found New Year's Eve's a lot busier than New Year's Day. But New Year's Eve's... it's because I'm going... New Year's Eve, the park's open until 1 a.m. Disneyland Park is open until 1 a.m. They have fireworks at midnight. Then the whole of basically Main Street turns into a huge disco. They have a DJ that just pumps music out down the whole of Main Street. It's a really bizarre experience to be in Main Street, USA, pumping out disco club music, which doesn't fit with the era whatsoever.
No.
And they sell very expensive glasses of champagne. I think they're about €14 each, something like that.
Jeez.
Right. Expansion again to Disney Village. Woo-hoo. We're staying in Disney Village again. We talked a little while ago. We sort of rumoured that there was going to be this expansion coming, and we've had a few changes here and there where things have moved out, things have moved in. So, you know, the Starbucks has been in recently. That's just refurb an older building. But there was a brand new building being built for the Earl of Sandwich. Now,
woo-hoo.
The Earl of Sandwich is a US-based chain that's actually sort of British in origin. Basically, they're building an additional building within Disney Village. It's coming next year. This building is going to be located next to the Rainforest Cafe and sort of opposite Cafe Mickey's, sort of the walkway. You've got Panoramagique at the end. And if you're looking at Panoramagique, there's a sort of space to the right-hand side, which they're going to be putting this brand new building in. It's going to be sort of two stories. There's going to be two separate terraces. These terraces are going to look out over Lake Disney. Now, there's no sort of official announcement on an opening date, but it is expected that the building is going to begin to be constructed in the new year and is likely to open before the end of 2010. So that sounds interesting.
That sounds brilliant. I mean, you, Adam, it's one of my favourite places to eat. Downtown in Florida, I think it sounds, you know, wonderful. And so it'd be fantastic. What happened to that little sandwich shop though, that they've got the deli?
Well, that's a really interesting point. And that sort of segued nicely into the next and the final sort of bit of news that I've got. And that is because of this Earl of Sandwich opening. There's rumours that there's going to be some sort of expansion of Disney Village, and with the convention centre they've talked about that they're going to be opening, there's suddenly going to be this New York Sandwich deli shop. And there's going to be Earl of Sandwich, which I would say, well, are going to be complete rivals. And yeah. I don't know whether Earl of Sandwich is going to be run by Disney as a franchise. I'm guessing it probably is going to be, which means that they're going to be running two franchises that are going to compete against each other. Now, I know, certainly, if I had a choice between the New York Deli and between that and the Earl of Sandwich, it would be Earl of Sandwich every time. Now, the rumours have come back that this World of Disney store is going to be built. They talked about this a long time ago. It's going to be something very, very similar to what we get in Downtown Disney in Orlando. It's going to be a huge, huge store. It's going to be designed to look very much like the Galerie Lafayette in the centre of Paris. It's going to be very stylish. But it would mean that if they did build this, and it's likely to be built next to the Gaumont Cinema, which is, there's a big space there, they're going to put that in, sort of at the entrance of Disney Village. If they do build that there, they're then not only going to have a replica or a similar store as they've got to the sandwich shop, but they're also going to have all of those Disney stores on that sort of left-hand side as you walk down through Disney Village towards the hotels, which are going to be replicated inside the World of Disney, which means really the whole of one side of Disney Village is going to be completely empty. It's going to be null and void, really, which makes me begin to think, you know, are they starting with Earl of Sandwich first, and then they're going to start on World of Disney store, and then that whole side is going to be empty, and that they're then going to start rebuilding and they're going to put new stuff in there, or whether this, you know, the World of Disney thing's just something, a rumour that's come up.
I don't know, knock it all down and build a Diana Memorial place there or something.
We don't want another Diana Memorial thing there. But it's interesting to see whether Disney Village is going to become something more like Downtown Disney is, where you get a lot of external companies coming in, bringing their stuff in. And it'd be nice, I think it'd be quite nice to see more stuff in Disney Village other than the Disney merchandise that there is on the left and the restaurants as is on the right. Because for me, you know, once I've been through Disney Village once, there's not a lot really there different Disney stuff. It really is, you know, a lot of walkthrough stuff, and it's so big, and it's not, for me, very well organised in there, that I sometimes think, like, on the last trip when we were out there for Mouse Meets, I thought I knew where to get two or three things from in Disney Village, and when I went in, they've all moved, and it's not, to me, that it's as well organised as it could be. So I wonder whether, you know, World Disney opens, that'll all be sorted, that'll all be moved, and they'll put something brand new in there. It'll be well worth seeing if they do.
I hope so, yeah.
Well, there you go. I told you there wasn't much news, and that is all the news for this edition of the show. And, Craig, you know, it's Christmas, so I think we need to wish...
It's Christmas!
Oh, there we go, noddy holder. I think we need to wish all of our listeners a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Hope you have a fantastic time. And hopefully we'll see some of you out in The Princess and the Frog on the 3rd of January.
Yeah, absolutely. Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you all for your support this year. It's been great.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm coming along in that way. We've had a great time this year. Really, really enjoyed everything that we do. Great guys to work with and all the fun that we have. So, Merry Christmas to you all, to all the people. We have each other, we say that.
Yeah.
See you all in the new year.
Yes, so see you all in the new year. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Welcome to the answers of this special edition of the Disney Brit Trivia Quiz, the Mouse Meets edition. We actually gave the answers out over at Mouse Meets, and then we are going to said we'd bring you the answers here to this particular quiz. So all the questions that you're going to get, all eight, are indeed questions based upon Disneyland Paris. Let's see how well you all did, and I'll let you know how some of our listeners did at the end of giving you the answers. So here are the answers to the special Mouse Meets edition of the Disney Brit Trivia Quiz. So heading all the way back to question one then, this one was for 100 points, and the question was as follows. During the winter, an ice skating rink is located outside which Disneyland Paris hotel? The answer is the Hotel New York over there on Lake Disney. It was one of the events we held as part of Mouse Meets. Now, until 2009, Disney built an authentic ice rink in Rockefeller Center and the Rockefeller Plaza. And an ice chute was also built so that the excess ice could be pushed into Lake Disney. Now, this rink was built each winter until 2009, this year, when a synthetic rink was bought by the company and is now placed in the same location. Question two then was for 200 points, and it was as follows. In Disneyland Paris, Honey, I Shrunk the Audience is located in which land? And it is in Discoveryland. The attraction, located towards the back of Discoveryland, in between Star Tours and Pizza Planet, Buzz Lightyear's Pizza Planet, in fact. The theatre was originally the home of the Captain EO show, and Honey, I Shrunk the Audience didn't debut until the 28th of March, 1999. Okay, question three then. There's a couple of responses that I sort of accepted for this one. And question three was this, 300 points. How many roller coasters exist in the Disneyland Paris Resort? Now, officially, there is five, but you could include a sixth, and I'll come to that in a second. Now, three out of these five coasters that exist at Disneyland Paris have inversions, and Space Mountain in Discoveryland was the first time that Walt Disney Imagineers attempted an inverted coaster. Now, the five coasters are as follows. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Peril, that's in Adventureland. Big Thunder Mountain in Frontierland, Space Mountain Mission 2 in Discoveryland, Rock and Roller Coaster starring Aerosmith, which is in the back lot of Walt Disney Studios, and Crush's Coaster, which is in Toon Studios. Now, I say there could be six, and I did accept six, because there's also the Casey Jr. train at the back of Fantasyland, which, when I asked Disney, it's not officially classed as a coaster, but it is, in a way, a coaster-style attraction. So, my official answer is five, but if you have got that down for the six, I'll let you have that one as well. Question four was for 400 points. Name the British actor that narrates the studio tram tour Behind the Magic at Walt Disney Studios Paris. And the answer is one of the long-standing Disney legends, I suppose, Jeremy Irons. Now, he has a long history with the Walt Disney Company. He was the narrator for Epcot's Spaceship Earth, as well as the voice for Scar in The Lion King. And when the attraction opened in the 16th of March 2002, Jeremy Irons provided the English narration as guest tour props and sets from Hollywood movies. Question five, then, 500 points. According to the storyline of Walt Disney Studios' Krush's Coaster, where are you travelling through in the coaster portion of the attraction? And it is the East Australian Current. Now, in fitting with the original story of Finding Nemo, guests take a trip on the East Australian Current, the EAC. The attraction begins as a dark ride style as the story of Nemo unfolds. The lift hill represents the sunken boat where Dory and Marley meet the sharks, and the coaster section of the attraction represents the EAC, including dips, dives, turns, and I can tell you now, a whole lot of spinning.
Mesdames et messieurs, et vous les enfants, Disney en Paris est fier de vous présenter son extraordinaire festival de magie nocturne et d'enchantement. Dans une série de milliers de lumières, sur une musique électro-sainte et magnifique, The Main Street Electrical Parade.
Okay, question six then for 600 points, and the question was as follows. What is the name of the dragon found underneath Sleeping Beauty's castle in Disneyland Park? And I've got to admit, this is quite a cruel trick question because it doesn't actually have a name. Most people will put in Maleficent, but no, it's not Maleficent at all. It is a dragon that guards the castle, but it does not have a name at all. It's just there to scare people and basically be a great audio animatronic. Moving on to question seven. Outside of Annette's Diner in Disney Village is a pink Cadillac. As I said last time, it's no longer outside Annette's Diner. It's now moved. It's now outside Planet Hollywood. But what is so special about its number plate? And that is that the number plate shows the numbers 12/04/94, which is indeed the date that Disneyland Paris opened its doors to guests. Now, Walt Disney Imagineering have always added little touches to attractions and props found in its resorts around the world. The most famous way is with Hidden Mickeys, but Imagineers also include hidden jokes paying tributes to certain attractions, dates, or people. In this case, as I've said, the number plate says 12/04/94, the date of Euro Disney's grand opening. And finally, question 8 for 800 points is as follows. On Disneyland Park's Main Street USA, who is given the title of Consultant at Large World Famous Psychic? And it is Dick Nunes. Now, Disney legend Dick Nunes began his career as a cast member at Disneyland in 1955. Between 1967 and 74, he was chairman of the park's operating committee, and in 1968 was promoted to vice president of operations. And by 1971, he was named as executive vice president for Walt Disney World and Disneyland, and in 1980 was named as outdoor recreation president, overseeing all American-based parks, plus plans for Disneyland Paris and Tokyo Disneyland. Nunes was given a window on Main Street in honour of his work and service to the company. And in 1999, 40 years to the day that he began his Disney career, Dick Nunes retired from his post of chairman of Walt Disney Attractions. Well, there you go. Well done to everybody who entered once again. And this time, for the first time I think ever, nobody got all eight correct. So I think I win that one. But well done to Brian and Tom Jackson, who once again entered the competition, got 7 out of 8 right. Unfortunately, it was that Sleeping Beauty Castle question that got them as well. But well done to you all. Thank you to all of those people who came to the Mouse Meets quiz as well. Really was fantastic to see everybody there. And we're going to bring you some more Disney Brit Trivia quizzes in the new year with some more topics and some more interesting facts as well. So well done to you guys. It's the last one for this year, and until 2010, we'll get on with the rest of the podcast.
Thank you.
Christmas is certainly one of my favourite times to visit any of the Walt Disney parks. And in Disneyland Paris, we're very, very lucky. And as we mentioned in the news, we think it's the only park in the world of which snow is actually possible. And I know as we record this, Disneyland Paris is currently blanketed in snow. And I'm off out there in just over a week's time for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And I'm really hoping the snow's still going to be around. But it's not just the weather that makes it so special. It's the decoration. And it's also some of the events that they have over there. And this year is no different, because they have a brand new event that happens in the evening. It's a mini show almost, and that is the tree lighting ceremony. Now, we were talking to cast members while we were there, and one of the things they were saying is this tree lighting ceremony is very different to anything they've done before. It's a mini show that happens in Town Square next to the huge Christmas tree they have there, and sometimes it can't always go off as well as they'd like. If there's far too many people on Main Street at the time, it means that the portable stage that sort of comes out in front of the tree isn't always able to come out, and because of that, they then have to shorten the show and have a much shorter show than they would do normally. Now, unfortunately, while we were there for Mouse Meets, one of the activities was to go and see the tree lighting ceremony. And due to the massive amount of crowds that were there, this didn't happen. But what they did do is perform a shortened version of the tree lighting ceremony. And what I want to do now is to bring you the audio from that particular tree lighting ceremony. So, here it is.
La cérémonie d'illumination du sapin de Noël, the Christmas tree lighting ceremony.
Because I am currently at the top of deck 10 of the Disney Wonder. Yes, we are on the Disney Cruise Line, and it's a lovely evening. It's probably around about 11 p.m.
7 p.m. here. It's a bit of windows and said, but the temperature is fantastic. Currently overlooking the cove, which is where the adult pool area is. Just like to tell you a little bit about how the day has gone. One of the things we did, because we're coming on the Disney cruise, is we really researched into looking at what time was the best time to arrive here at the Port Canaveral to board the Disney Wonder. And it seemed that a lot of people thought that, you know, if you were arriving around about 11 o'clock, it would be a much better time to arrive than maybe a bit later. So we left Orlando around about 10:30 and made our way down to the port. Got here, the boarding process is just absolutely amazing. We brought the car in, we went through to the manifesto area where they checked us off. We went straight over to bag drop-off, dropped the bags off where supporters came and took our luggage for us. The car was then taken over to the car park, and while the driver was doing that, we actually went into check-in. We actually checked ourselves in, we actually went through all the paperwork and got ourselves sorted before the driver had even come back. And then what Disney did is give you a number, and that particular number corresponded with when you would board. We were number 9, and when we arrived, they were already boarding number 4 and number 5. So it wasn't long before we actually went through to security. What you have to do is go and get your photo taken, and that matches with your Key to the World card. That's also your charge card, it's your identification, and it's your room key as well. We had our photos taken, and pretty much as soon as we'd done that, we were invited to go and board the ship. So we boarded around about midday, made our way round to the Blanket Beach Buffet, and enjoyed a really good meal, just sort of for lunch. Of course, on the Disney Cruise Line, your food is included. Drinks are included, unless you are having an alcoholic beverage or you're drinking from some of the bars. If you go to the restaurant and have a soda or something like that, it's included in your meal, as is if you are sort of ordering, getting drinks, sorry, from the beverage station, which is down by the beach blanket buffet area. We had we got into our rooms about 1:30. We were on an inside stateroom, and I was a bit worried that maybe we weren't going to have enough light in there, or the room wasn't going to be big enough. The room was plenty big enough. There was obviously no porthole, but that really didn't matter at all. We did have televisions, which has got some movies on several channels. The ESPN's on there, there's news channels, there's a sort of a cam that shows where the boat is going. Obviously, it's dark now, so there's not a lot going on other than a straight thunderstorm here and there. But we settled into our room and we had the usual emergency drill. And after the emergency drill, we got ourselves ready for the deck party. And the deck party happens up on deck 9. And what they actually do is the Goofy Pool. They actually cover over with an entire deck to create like a dance floor. And they have this sail away party with Mickey and Minnie and Goofy and Pluto, etc. And as the boat sails away from Port Canaveral, the horn goes, which actually plays When You Wish Upon a Star, which is a lovely little touch. We then got ourselves ready for dinner. We had a 5:45 seating with the Tritons this evening. Excellent service from our service team. Wonderful meal. Had the most amazing French soup. Some great three cheese lobster macaroni and an amazing to die for dessert. Actually had... Well, I went or was going to go for the creme brulee, which looked absolutely amazing. But instead, I decided to go for the brioche sort of pudding, which was gorgeous. We then left there. We went over to the Buena Vista Theatre. We went to watch something called The Golden Mickeys, which is a show that is sort of tracking the history of the Walt Disney Company, the movies. Almost like an awards ceremony where they have like best villain, best romantic, best comedy, etc., etc. But the meal, obviously we have my little boy Harry, who's only 2, doesn't like to sit around for very long. We decided that we'd have our meal and we would put him into the Flounders Reef Nursery. Now it's cost $6 an hour. Put him in for about 3 hours because we knew that it'd be a longer meal this evening, and he had the best time of his life. Now bearing in mind he is 2, the staff in there were absolutely amazing. They tried to do some hand painting with him, they did some toys and stuff in there as well. But because he's quite an active little boy and the staff realised this, what they actually did is 2 of the staff took him over to the Oceaneers Club and let him go and play in the play area, and they sort of supervised him over there as well as in the Flounders Reef Nursery as well. So if you are coming and bringing small children, the Flounders Reef Nursery is an excellent way to enjoy some time on your own without necessarily having small children in tow. So that's really how the day went. We've just been into Studio C to take part in the Who Wants to Be a Mouseketeer. Unfortunately, I wasn't chosen this time, but we'll go back again and see if there's another opportunity. So that is day 14. That is us from the Disney Wonder here in the middle of off the sea at the moment on our way to Nassau. After we've been to Nassau tomorrow, I will give you a report on how that day went.
Well, with Mouse Meets 2009 well and truly over now, and we are sort of end of December coming into 2010, we want to start giving you a little bit of information with regards to Mouse Meets 2010. And this is a little bit of our update. Not a huge amount of news to give you, but we certainly want to give you as much as we can. So once again, Craig joins me. Hi, Art.
Hello.
And we're just going to tell you a little bit about some of the stuff that's happened and is happening with regards to it. The first one, I think, is a really, really important one. That is about the venue change. If you listen to the last episode of the podcast, I talked about the fact that we're having it at the Manchester Conference Centre, of which that's now not happening. There's been reasons for that. We've had to change that. And we're now going to be holding it at a new venue in Manchester. In fact, a new venue to us and a new venue to Manchester, in the fact that this place is really only just opened. And that is the Crown Plaza Hotel. It's right next to the MEN Arena. Very, very easily accessible, and actually in a really good location for just what we need it for and the things that we need there. It's very, very easily accessible by road, by train. Both the Victoria and Manchester Piccadilly railway stations are very, very close. And also you've got Manchester Airport that's fairly nearby. So it is going to be happening at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Manchester. You can find out more about them at www.cpmanchester.com. So that's going to be where that is. Reminder that the date is the 1st and 2nd of May. You going to be there, Craig?
I'm going to be there. I'm just working out how to get to Manchester.
Yeah, you're unfortunately in a position that you're miles away, but you're going to be coming up. And Craig, myself and Juz are all going to be there, the whole team together, which is going to be fantastic.
Group hug.
Big group hug, yeah. We have loads and loads of activities planned, and I've had several emails through Facebook and through the Disney Brits Hotmail sort of account asking what exactly is going to be going on at Mouse Meets 2010. There is a lot of stuff that we still cannot announce as of yet. The reason we can't announce it is because it's not quite been finalised, and I don't really want to announce stuff that we then have to tell you isn't going to happen. But we have got some very, very exciting things. I think that's fair to say, isn't it? We've got a couple of really exciting events that we're going to have a go at.
Really good things. Yeah, this is going to be great fun. I'm looking forward to this.
Some of the things that we can tell you that are going to be happening, we're hoping to have a bit of a Disney marketplace, so to speak, which is where some people who are sponsoring the show are going to have the opportunity to bring along some of the things they sell so you can have a look at what they are and buy some of those. So that should be very, very exciting. We're also going to be having a sort of Disney Brit trivia quiz sort of thing, some sort of style thing happening as well during the day. Some people have already emailed me and said, can we dress up for the event? Yes, definitely, without a shadow of a doubt. Please, if you've got costumes that you're going to come in, do come dressed up. I had one person who's contacted me on Facebook who said, I've got an Ariel outfit, can I come dressed as Ariel? I was like, yeah, too right, feel free, come along, you know, come in whatever you want to. We've got no restrictions, you must come as a normal person. You can come as Jack Sparrow, come as Ariel, come as Mrs. Potts if you want to. It's fine by me. So the more that dress up, the better. That'd be great.
Yeah, Alice in Wonderland, please.
So Wonderland, yeah, that'd be good. So we're going to have that. We've got a silent auction, which we're going to be doing. For those of you who don't know what a silent auction is, it's just basically where people can bid for items, but rather than doing it out loud, you sort of fill in a slip of paper, put it in a pot, and the highest bid wins. We've got a few great items for that as well. Some great people who have donated some fantastic stuff, which is brilliant. So thank you to those people. You'll find out more about that a bit later on. We're going to have a pin trading event, and we're hoping this is going to be the largest pin trading event that has happened so far in the UK. Yvonne Douglas, who lives up in Scotland, she has told me about a few that have happened. Kevin Batty, who lives down in London Way, he was part. He does a lot with the Pincast in the US. You know, he's going to be coming and bringing some stuff. There's all sorts of things that are going to be happening. But we certainly want to try and make it one of the biggest pin trading events that have happened in the UK. That's going to be happening as well. We've got lots and lots of other bits and pieces that we will hopefully bring to you a bit closer. But some of the events that are going to be happening cost quite a bit of money. and we have managed to keep the ticket price down. And the ticket price for this year is going to be £9.75. Now, we can't obviously, like I say, announce all of the things that are going to be happening, but I can tell you now, with some of the stuff that's going to be happening at Mouse Meets this year, that £9.75 will seem a bargain. And the reason it really is, isn't it? And the only reason we can keep that price down is because of the generous support of our sponsors. And we have to really, really thank some of the sponsors that we've got at the moment who have been fantastic enough to support us and to help us keep the cost down for this year's event. Firstly, we've got our main sponsor, which is Castle China, Disney Dave, Dave and Carol Dark, who own Castle China in Warwickshire. They've very kindly stepped up to be the main sponsors for the event. They are a fantastic couple. I met them a few weeks ago over at one of the Memorabilia Exhibition, in fact, in Birmingham. And they are one of the forerunners of Disney collectibles and Disney figurines and all that sort of stuff. They are the forerunners of the Walt Disney Classics Collection. They do some Robert Olszewski stuff as well. You can visit them at www.castlechina.com. But we'd like to thank them once again for coming and being main sponsors. We also have Attraction Tickets Direct, our long-standing sponsor of the podcast. They have very, very kindly agreed to support Mouse Meets 2010. You know these guys, you know they're fantastic. I've bought my tickets to them before. Really is a great service. Call them on 0800 975 002 or at www.attraction-tickets-direct.co.uk. Those guys there have offered to sponsor the event as well, which is fantastic. We'd like to thank them. Also, Columbus Vacation Villas over in the US. These are a British-owned company who not only rent villas, but also our property management companies out there. You can get villas from them ranging from 3-bedroom properties to villas that sleep 14 people. They really do have massive ones. Craig, you have some dealings with these guys?
Do you? Hello, thank you. Hello, Laura. They are great family. They live in St. Jude's as I live over there. Yeah. And they look after more pool for me.
They look after your pool. There we go. So,
not just a pool company. They've got fantastic history in travel. Travel business. Laura's been in the travel business.
And they're lovely people, lovely Scottish people,
they really,
I suppose.
Really, really are.
A few times, they are really nice.
Yeah.
You can visit them at www.columbus-vacations.com. And we'd like to thank all of those sponsors for getting involved, because it really is greatly appreciated. Okay, let's just nip back. Let's just go backwards to tickets. I said that they were £9.75.
Cheapest.
They are cheap as chips, honestly. You know, you'd pay that to go and see a 3D movie at the cinema. That's how cheap it is. And you get to meet some fantastic Disney fans in this country. Ticket prices are, like I say, £9.75, and they are going on sale very, very soon. And I mean very soon. If you are listening to this podcast on the Wednesday it's released, the 23rd of December, we are releasing tickets to those of you who have signed up for the newsletter as of midnight on Christmas Day. So midnight, 25th of December, the moment that strokes that clock strokes midnight, we will be releasing tickets to those people who have signed up to the newsletter. The newsletter you should have already. If you do not have it and you have signed up, please let me know, because there is a link on the newsletter of which will take you straight to the tickets page for Mouse Meets. Okay, you'll be able to go on there, you'll be able to get your ticket, you'll be sorted, and you'll be able to come to the event. The tickets then go on general sale to anybody who is not registered for the newsletter on the 28th of December. So midnight the 28th of December, there'll be a link that will appear on Facebook. It will appear on the actual Mouse Meets website, so mousemeets.co.uk. You can click on that. You can go straight to the tickets page to also buy your tickets. Now, you will need PayPal to purchase tickets. Okay, you will need to use, you're in a PayPal, we're going to do it all through PayPal to purchase their tickets. But I think the most important thing is the tickets are very limited. Now, you know, we have not got a hall that seats 500 people. You know, we're realistically looking at it.
Not this year.
You know, not this year. No, you know, it's the first event in the UK. You know, the first Mouse Meets last year, or this year as it is, went very well. But we're beginning to gradually build up. And the room that we have this year, the venue that we have, has a limited space. Some of the events we're thinking about, we're looking at holding, also have a limited space. That means we can only have a limited number of people come to the event. Which means that if you are seriously thinking of coming, you need to get your tickets ASAP, okay? I think that's fair to say, isn't it?
I think it's fair to say. You don't want to be disappointed. did, you know, it's such a great price considering what we were looking at beforehand. So it's a brilliant price, and what you're going to get for that, you're going to be over the moon. So, you know, if you're newsletter, if you've had that already, when you go to log on to Next to do their Christmas Day sale or Marks and Spencer's, you know, go on to Mouse and as well and buy your ticket.
Especially in the afternoon when the Queen's on at 3, you don't want to listen to that. Get on yourself and get some tickets.
Go on our ticket, it's cheap, and it's going to be well worth it.
To give you some idea of how popular the pre-registration has been, we have had far more than double the amount of people who have said they're interested in coming than we've got tickets, basically. We really are overwhelmed with the amount of people who have said that they're interested in coming. Now, that doesn't not mean that all those people are going to come, but we do have that amount of interest in the event, and we're hoping that all those people who have said they want to come are going to come, which would be fantastic to see. So that really rounds up everything for Mouse Meets 2010 at the moment. Can you think of anything else?
No, apart from, should I envision to see what you have to dress up as?
Oh, if I'm going to dress up as, I'm not dressing up as anything. I'm going to be far too busy. But yeah, I'll just remind you, it's the 1st and 2nd of May. That's the first bank holiday weekend. We chose that because people then have most of the Saturday to travel down and the Monday to go back if they want to. The plan for the Saturday evening is just to have something very casual. We have something called the Printworks, which is sort of a nighttime entertainment venue nearby, where we may do something on the Saturday night, maybe a group meal or something like that. And then the Sunday we have mostly at the Crown Plaza Hotel, although we may venture out at some points during the day as well. So I hope we'll see you there. You know, don't forget to on Christmas Day, those of you who got the letter and have got the ticket web link, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the late link. And I've got a cold. I've got that web link. Get your tickets on Christmas Day, and for the rest of you, get it on the 28th.
Gosh, Christmas really is all around us. And the best part is, the spirit of the season never has to end. As long as you keep your loved ones near and a holiday wish in your heart.
As I was saying earlier on in the show, it really is great when we have some fantastic Christmas offerings. And for the first time in a few years, Disneyland Paris have added yet something new to their lineup. And that is over in Fantasyland, It's a Small World is given a special holiday makeover where they take each country and give it that special Christmas tradition. The music's changed, the costumes on the dolls have changed, and it really is given that wintry, Christmassy style. And what we want to play for you now is the audio that comes with that particular attraction. Really is a very different feel to what you normally get from It's a Small World. So, just to round off the show before we finish off, here is the audio from It's a Small World Celebration in Fantasyland in Disneyland Paris. Well, that pretty much rounds up episode 31 of the Disney Brit Podcast into a nice little Christmas bundle. I hope you once again enjoyed the show. We tried to bring you some Christmas content, as this is really only 2 days before Christmas this show comes out. Thank you once again to our sponsors, Attraction Tickets Direct and Complete Orlando. You can find them at attraction-ticketsdirect.co.uk or completeorlando.co.uk. Thanks to Craig for joining me and Juz. We wish you all the best. Hope you get better soon. I know you're quite poor at the moment. Hopefully you'll be back with us for the next Iron Orlando and the next Disney Brit Podcast. Make sure to email us your questions, comments, suggestions and concerns to disneybrit@hotmail.com. We do try to return all your emails still. You can also ring us on our voicemails on 0121 288 2858 for the UK and 407-545-7980 in the US. Make sure to check out our website at disneybrit.com, and we are trying to update that, put some new things on there, and also our Twitter. We're trying to gradually or regularly update that as well, so please do follow us over on Twitter. You will find out some information on there as well, especially with things like the release of the webpage for the Mouse Meets tickets, if you have not got the newsletter. Don't forget also to check out our Facebook page and our Disney Brit fan page. Also, we've got our Disney UK fans page over there. And again, all of the Mouse Meets ticket stuff is going to go on there on the 28th as well. You can friend up myself, Juz and Craig. We're always putting stuff up on Facebook with regards to things we're doing for the show, getting you guys to call into our voicemail, competitions, things like that. We're certainly going to be putting some more things on there. So do come and friend us up over there. Certainly be well worth your while. Thank you to those people who are still leaving us reviews on iTunes. It really is great for having those reviews up there. It really just let people know what the show is all about and whether or not it's the right show for them. You can also find us on YouTube. We've got our own YouTube channel now. Just search for Disney Brit Podcast. There's some podcast vidcasts really on there. There'll be some more things coming up again soon. I hope to have a vidcast from the recent Mouse Meets up there very, very soon, in the process of working on that. You can still buy my book, The Minnie Mouse, from Amazon in the US and the UK, as well as Waterstones, Borders, if it's still around, and WH Smith's, as well as my book, The Unofficial Guide to the Magic Kingdom, Imagineering the Way. You can find that over at Lulu. Reminder, as if you haven't had enough reminders, Mouse Meets 2000 tickets go on sale Christmas Day for those registered for the newsletter, and the 28th of December for everyone else. So make sure you check out the Mouse Meets website at mousemeets.co.uk and find out more about that. You can check out our sister podcast at Iron Orlando, and also make sure you visit the home of our new forums. We have plenty of members over there talking about all sorts of things Disney, Disneyland Paris, the lot. That's disneybrit.com/forum. Go over there and register with us there. The next show will be Wednesday, the 6th of January 2010. We've got some great new segments coming up for the new year, but there's hopefully a bit more audio to come from Disneyland Paris, which I'm hopefully going to get over New Year. And really, that is it. That is the end of this show, the last show for 2009. And really, it leaves me to say nothing else other than all of us here at the Disney Brit Podcast wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. So, until 2010, I'll see you.